Hello, everyone. It is Friday. I hope you guys are well. It is a long weekend. A lot of stuff to be grateful for. Tell me how you guys doing. And if you have any questions for this week's show, please drop it in the comments. If there's anything I can help with, I would love to really try my best and add as much value as possible. So just drop a comment if you've got any specific marketing questions. If you've been struggling with certain things, if you're concerned about certain things, let me know. Just drop it in the chat and I will answer it as we go throughout the show. Now, I've got a cool show prepared for us today. And there's some interesting things happening. I've got a very cool software tool that I want to share with you that can really help you better calculate, you know, what kind of profit and returns you're actually getting. And when I say returns, I actually mean actual profit. You know, we often look at return on ad spend and all these things, and that's great. Nothing wrong with that, because that's the one metric that we actually have, you know, in order to determine the success of our campaigns. But from my perspective, yeah, this tool's it's really cool in determining the actual profit that you're making. You know, cost of goods sold, your shipping fees, merchant fees, all these things, determining whether you can actually, you know, scale the specific channel profitably. So I'm going to be sharing a cool tool with you. And then we've got some really cool news. So from my side, you know, we have a couple of cool things happening, specifically around TikTok. Snapchat's also done something really cool in the terms of augmented reality. And yeah, they're literally tapping into the e-commerce space, you know, from a virtual shopping perspective. We've got Instagram Reels and Facebook. That's just, you know, the Reels side of Facebook and Instagram. That's just doing exceptionally well. So I've got some guidance on what you can be doing for your business if you're looking for some traction. We're going to talk about live shopping, which is really, you know, taking off as well to some extent. And then I've got some tips that I want to share with you. So with that said, I'm going to dive straight in. Matt Vessels, hope you well. JD, nice to see you. Missed last week's stream. Not missing today. Well, that's good to hear. And I'm so happy, you know, to hear that. And I hope that you're doing well. Matt Vessels, nice to see you as well. So if there's anybody else, if you've got a specific question, anything related to marketing, social media, whatever it is, I'll try my best to add as much value as I can. Right. So let's dive in to today's show. The first thing I'm going to share with you guys is a software tool. And the software tool is called BeProfit. So BeProfit is basically a software tool that plugs in with your existing e-commerce, you know, if you will, e-commerce business. And essentially, what you find is that it's not unlike most tools. It doesn't just give you insights to your advertising channels. It gives you a ton of cool insight to whether you're actually making a profit or not on certain products over time and channels, etc. So this is just a demo version of them, of the actual software tool. So if we look at the dashboard side, you can see, for example, yesterday's snapshot. You can obviously change the dates if you want over here. And then you can see your total sales, your cost of goods sold. Now, this is going to help you determine your gross margins and stuff like that. Your actual ad spend, other expenses, shipping and handling, transaction fees. So it's almost like, you know, doing all the accounting work for you automatically. But it goes deeper than that. You know, it goes actual into specific products and channels as well, which we're going to touch on. So you can compare key metrics over time. You can see what's actually been happening with your business. You can get deeper insights. And stuff like that. So you can actually determine your net profit in real time, you know, for that day, you know, for that week, whatever it may be. You can look at your top sellers and see, you know, what is your profit margin actually overall on those sellers? What is the profit that you've actually made this week on those specific products, which I think is really, really cool. Then you look at stuff like your marketing channels and what you can obviously determine the ROAS, and you can look at your Facebook ads dashboard, or you can build a Data Studio dashboard, whatever it may be, which is pretty cool. But in time, you can actually determine the profit of those channels as well. So, you know, in essence, I think this is really, really important, because you need to keep in mind that the only way to really grow your business is to determine where you're making the most profit, taking more a percentage of that profit and reinvesting it back into that specific channel or product, right? That's really how you go about scaling. It's not just about spending more money overall. It's really determining where you're wasting money and where you're actually getting better bang for buck, and then putting more money behind what's working. So here you can determine the actual profits that you're making. Keep in mind this is just a normal demo, so it's not necessarily connected to any real life data. So some of it might not make sense, but it's just to give you an idea of what it's all about. You've got your P&L sheet and stuff like that. Here you can basically determine the actual gross profit that you're making from Facebook and Google. So now, you can see the money that you've spent, the revenue that you've made. You can determine the ROAS, but the ROAS is not always profit, right? The ROAS is not always profit. Well, it's never profit. It's basically just money spent versus money back. But there's so many variables in between that really determines what's going to be profit, what's profit you're going to be making back or not. So that is where this comes in. Essentially, you can actually see what profit you're making back on that specific channel. And you want to take a percentage of that and reinvest it and reinvest it, right? So that's what makes it really, really cool. So check out BeProfit. What I like about BeProfit, guys, is just that the actual pricing is very affordable. They've connected with Wix, WooCommerce, and Shopify, like some software tools out there that do something similar, only links with Shopify mainly. And what I like about them is they've got all three platforms, and they have a free version. So if your store is doing anything under 30 orders a month, you can test it out and see what happens. If you are doing a little bit more than that, you can test the basic package out for $20 a month. If you pay monthly, it's 25. It's really affordable if you want to give it a go. And I think, we look at it as like, oh, this is $300 or $400 that I have to spend on my small business. But if you're spending 10K a month on marketing, rather spend 9-6 and spend $400 on a software tool that can guide you what to do with the money that you're actually spending, right? So yeah, I really like it. I hope you guys do too. I hope you find it valuable. Cool. So then what I have for you is basically just some cool marketing news. I don't see any questions, guys. Let me know what you need. If there's anything I can help with, I've been dying to find out, what is on your mind. I'd love to help. So we've got Facebook user. I don't have your name here. You say, do we have to go via an agency to run TikTok ads? Yes, unfortunately, you do. And we're one of the only, I don't know how many agencies in South Africa currently can do it. I'm pretty sure we're one of the few. So we actually just been testing some TikTok ads over the last couple of weeks. I think we're spending about 20K or 30K this month on ads to see what it's all about. And the cost is really dirt cheap, and some really cool stuff's happening. So we're testing it out for our own business, and now we're starting to test it out for clients as well in the coming weeks. So if you do want to enroll for TikTok ads, you can do it through us. And we can obviously assist in getting you an account set up, and you can target South Africa because, obviously a lot of companies where you can't target in South Africa currently with TikTok. And what's happening is a lot of companies say, yeah, they can do TikTok ads, but it's more just the generic side of it or the organic side of it. So if you do need help with that, then just reach out to us. If you've got our email, reach out to us. I've got a link that you can actually use to just fill in your details. Let me know if you want that. I can pass it on. And so we're basically one of the only agencies that basically can offer that service at the moment. Then Beanbag, how does this software track sales from Facebook, etc., with the iOS and Google updates making it harder to track user activity? So keep in mind that what happens is that Apple is blocking Facebook. They're not blocking other apps. So in essence, what happens is that you get your own little tracking pixel that follows those people that follow the people around. So if it comes from Facebook, what happens is that other platforms, if that person visits Facebook, and then visits your store and then leaves your store, they're basically in the dark because it's Facebook's, pixel that's trying to track this individual. And that's blocked by Apple. However, that's the only platform that's currently blocked. So these companies are getting away with it because they're not blocked. Their pixel can still follow them around after they've been on your site. And therefore, they can attribute, to the actual success of that campaign. I hope that makes sense. Beanbag, let me know if that makes sense to you. There's also a tool called Triple Whale. So check out last week's episode. You can find it on YouTube. If you guys want to see last week's episode, I spoke about a software tool that can help you with your post iOS tracking. which is Triple Whale. We've been starting to use it for some of our clients, the bigger clients, obviously, with bigger spends, because the tool is quite expensive. We do have a 15% discount if anybody is interested in that. Just hit us up on email or leave a comment and we can hook you up. But in essence, gives that that's they give you a specific pixel that you add to your site, and then you can track everybody. So if they come from Facebook, kind of like leeches on, and then you can get a better idea of what's actually happening post your engagement on the site. Shay Sebastian Ludick, great to hear your voice again, Jay. Enjoying the show on this Friday. I know this isn't e-commerce related, but I was just wondering if you have any good advice or smarter ways for tracking conversions where my sales team converts leads into sales, but we get all these leads through Facebook and Google Ads. I've spent my time tripling the lead gen, and now I want to track the cost and profit. I know I can just calculate income versus ad spend, but I know you're a wizard. Thank you so much, man. Really appreciate the comment, Shay. Shay was at V8 Media, so before. So grateful for you tuning in, dude. Like I said earlier, there's a tool called Triple Whale. You can have a look at that, but it's mainly for e-commerce stores. So I don't know what kind of business you guys are running there. If it is lead gen, you can look at Google Analytics. You might want to focus on UTM tracking a bit. That's probably the closest that you're going to get for now. Most of the software tools out there are more tailored toward e-commerce businesses. So in essence, just having a generic tool tracking attribution for you. I mean, there's Hyros, there's what was the other one? You can just Google, maybe just have a look. I think there's Hyros. You spell it HIROS. You can have a look at that maybe. It's just extremely expensive. Like for small businesses, the reason we never went with that is like $3,000, I think was the basic setup. I can't even remember. It's just very, very, very expensive. And in essence, it just doesn't make sense for a small business here in South Africa, from my perspective. Cool. Beanbag says it makes sense. And we're moving on with our show. If there's any other questions, drop it and I will answer it, in the little breaks that we have between the content that I want to share and then the articles that I want to share. So the first article is pretty cool. It was an article by BigCommerce, which is obviously an e-commerce platform. And they basically said, they talked about social commerce and how that is growing. So let me just find the tab here for you guys. Da, 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 da. Let me just share my entire screen. It's probably just going to be easier. So here we go. Tapping into social commerce success with Meta. So basically what they spoke about is just how important social commerce is becoming. And social commerce, for those of you that don't know, is basically just people buying products off of social media. So not really going to the website, but the actual transaction happens on social media, right? So there's a convenience element attached to that. Now, in South Africa, we're a little bit limited because there's certain payment gateways that don't, I mean, most of the payment gateways are not linked with Facebook, unless you're using, I think, Stripe, for example. But you do need an overseas account to set up Stripe. I don't know if they've launched in South Africa yet. From what I understand, they haven't per se. So what happens is that even though it's a little bit of limitation, like it's very important to note because at the end of the day, this is obviously just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And more payment gateways are probably going to link up with, Facebook's APIs or whatever in order to get that going. And what this actually means is that you can buy products straight off of Facebook. But this is not what really the article was about, because that's something that's been happening for the last year and a half or so. What is really, really cool and what has been happening is the way that you can actually discover products on social media. Because back in the day, if you guys remember, basically someone had to post a product and they would then, just say, this is the product. And if you want to learn more about it, you can find the link in my bio, or you can learn more about it by leaving a comment or whatever, and we'll send on more information. Or you can click this link to learn more about it, and then you go off of Facebook. So what's happening now, and Instagram recently released this feature, is that anybody can tag a specific product from a specific company. And I'm unsure on how this feature is going to be rolled out. It's not available to anybody just yet. But what this means is that I can buy a product from Company X and I can post about that product and I can tag that product, What then happens is that a person in my newsfeed or someone watching my story, for example, will then see that exact product and click that exact product and get the necessary information right there and then, and they can then buy it right there and then as well. So there's no back and forth comms like, hey, where did you get this? Tell me a little bit more. I want to get it too. Nothing like that. So there's a convenience element here that's massive. And also it's a scalable way of reaching more people, especially if you're going to be doing influencer marketing. So just think about it for a second. Influencer marketing, the whole point is for other people to, you know, see your products through influencers. And what happens if they do, they drive them to a page or whatever, there's always some form of friction involved. And this will remove that friction. So now you can put your product in front of more eyeballs at the same cost, but you're going to get sales at a lower cost because there's less friction in order to get your hands on the product. So basically what they've just been saying is they've just been speaking about the discoverability of products, basically. And they've been talking about, you know, how this is going to change. So it's basically just understanding that in general, but we can dissect the article a little bit. So basically here, they just explain what social commerce is. And here was a quote. Now we have a situation where the entire customer journey from discovery to purchase can all happen in Instagram and integrate it in a seamless way. So that's exactly what I've mentioned now, right? The friction has been removed. So as opposed to someone commenting and DMing and getting more details and then getting a link, and then that is all going to be taken care of and it's going to be eliminated and it's going to be a much smoother process. To give you a sense of how big live shopping is, it's estimated to grow to about 25 billion in sales by the next year. So what they've been saying is you can leverage this through your live shopping. So Facebook Live, Instagram Live. And I don't think a lot of people are really capitalizing on live shopping. Imagine a webinar. So many of our clients do webinars and it's still very profitable to do. But imagine you did, as opposed to, because e-commerce, like how do you really do a webinar for e-commerce? Because webinars are more for lead gen or for info products and that kind of stuff, right? So considering that a webinar is more for lead gen and for info products, imagine you had a specific strategy that worked exactly like a webinar, but for e-commerce. And that is essentially what live shopping is and live shopping features, which is extremely, extremely cool. So in essence, guys, three things that's important to take away. Social commerce is here to stay, and it's going to essentially revolutionize the way we buy online. Might not happen today or tomorrow in the next year or two, but it's definitely going to happen the more people want convenience when it comes to these platforms, right? So anything can happen. Like Facebook can say, okay, our transaction fees is now 10%, and then small businesses are not going to list their products on it, and it might disrupt, you know, the industry in a different way. But if everything remains the way that it is and the trajectory kind of like remains the same, then it's safe to say that it's going to keep growing and it's going to revolutionize, you know, the way people discover products and buy products. So that is what's important. The second thing is, in essence, sorry, I just had a notification pop up. Yeah. In essence, the second thing that's very important is taking away that live shopping is basically like the webinar for lead gen and info products. Live shopping is like the webinar for e-commerce, and tapping into live shopping can really, really benefit your business. I don't know what you're asking. You're going there. Okay, cool. What is live shopping really like, and how do you do it successfully? So what I have done is I found a really cool article talking about the 11 best live video shopping platforms. I thought this might be interesting for those of you that are interested. And what is cool is there's two tools that is kind of affordable, because many of these tools are quite expensive because you actually host the live video on your site. And let me just give you an idea of how it looks. So this is Hue Zero, and this is basically a kind of like a live video shopping example. And this happens on the site. So this is on the site on your phone. So you can now chat to an expert about, you know, those boots. You can really get an idea of, you know, what it costs. You can, or you can click straight through to the product. So again, this is why I've said this is kind of like a webinar, but for e-commerce, which is really, really cool. So it says here, inspire visitors, one too many video shopping, bring products to life by adding the power of authentic one too many video shopping to your online store. So imagine you visiting a product page, and then on the product page, there's actual live video that was pre-recorded. So when I say live video, it's you did a live video, but then you saved it, and now everybody that visits that actual product in that section of the site can actually see a live breakdown of the product and how it works. And that is really, really cool. So something like Hero can help you do that. It's $99 a month from what I've seen, and you can give it a go if you feel like it. We haven't experimented with this a lot, and we are definitely going to moving forward in this year. Here's another one called livescale.tv, and this is also $99. So you can have a look at this. It just allows you to basically, you know, create that content on the go if you needed to, or basically just in a convenient way. And you can put it on your site, you can put it on social media, and you can drive people straight to the products. The beauty of this is if you've got pre-recorded content, it can really transform your product pages. Like, imagine the whole point of all of this, if we have to take a step back, is to mimic the in-store experience. That is really what it all comes down to, is like, how do we mimic the in-store experience? And live video is one way of doing that. And it's technology that's available, that is affordable, that we can use. So there's augmented reality, but that is not where it needs to be. And consumers and small businesses can't use it at scale because it's not that affordable. But something like this is, and it can really revolutionize your product pages and essentially improve your conversion rate on those pages as well. So this is basically livescale.tv and use Hero. There's one called Bambooza. There are others, but some of them don't have pricing, which means that the pricing is obviously outrageous when you actually do contact them. And these two are the ones that I found that was around $99. So have a look at that if you are keen to do that for your website. If you don't have anything on your site, you can obviously just do live videos on Facebook. And Meta has a specific support section where they kind of like give you a breakdown on how to do that. So create a live shopping video from your Facebook page. Here's basically steps on how to do it. First, obviously you need a Facebook shop because you need to tag those products, right? So if you're going to do a live video, you need to essentially tag those products. So the tag will come from the store or the shop that you set up on Facebook. So first you need a Facebook shop, and then in the live video, you can tag those products and you can follow this documentary, this document on how to actually go about it. But just a simple breakdown is, go to your Facebook page, in the create section, click live. This will take you to the live producer tool. Go to live shopping tab, toggle on enable live shopping, and under select playlist, choose my playlist, click save. The products from your playlist will show under the featured item, so you can share them in your live video. Under post, give your video a title, click go live when you're ready. So you can do live shopping for free on Facebook. You can also do live shopping for free on Instagram. So they've got a guide on how to do that on Instagram as well. What I did find was this pretty cool article. It's actually more of a resource from Instagram, giving you all the latest and greatest kind of like advice on how to set up your catalog, how to really maximize your live shopping essentially. So make your products easy to discover. So it's almost like the complete shopping guide for Instagram, especially from, you know, not the paid ad side, but the organic side. So, you know, tagging products in your reels, all these things. This will be uploaded to YouTube with the necessary links. So for those of you who have missed last week's episode, you can go back to YouTube and find it there. And this will all be uploaded to YouTube as well. So you can just subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is just V8 Media. Look for V8 Media on YouTube and you'll find us there. And all the resources will be uploaded there as well. Cool. So with that said, it basically covers our real and live shopping article. Social commerce is growing and it's continuing to grow. So we need to adapt and we need to be aware of what the implications are going to be down the line. And if we fall behind, you know, this doesn't mean that we're going to struggle too much, but eventually competitors might you know, frog leap over your business quite easily because you're not paying attention to what's happening around you. So that's important. Matt Vessels, your opinion on one Shopify store for international selling versus a multi-store structure. So, yeah, man, I think this is one of those classic questions that it's not black and white. I mean, nothing is really black and white. It depends on a few things. It depends on your logistics, I think, is one thing. Depends on your payment gateways as well. So, for example, if you've got one payment gateway on your store, it can get tricky because it might not be supported, you know, in other countries, on all countries. If you've got something like Stripe, you know, we're struggling to really capitalize on Stripe here, and I'm pretty sure soon it's going to change. Soon, PayPal, for example, doesn't really work well here. Like, even though many people use PayPal to buy stuff, there's an immediate drop off when you offer PayPal as a main payment provider or merchant. And I personally think that if you were in America, in the US, and you were in the UK and Europe and some of the main countries, right, that supported something like Stripe, and if you had one fulfillment center, or if you had a way to integrate your fulfillment centers, then one store will be fine. All you do is you pick up by IP. You know, you just have the IP pick up where they're coming from. You can allow them to choose, obviously, their country. But yeah, I think in essence, it also depends on what products you're stocking and where, right? So some people are only stocking half their products in South Africa, and some of them stock the other half in the UK because those products sell better in the UK and they don't sell well in South Africa. And some of them sell well in South Africa, but they don't sell well in the UK. I saw that in the retail and sports nutrition industry specifically. So there's a lot of questions that you need to ask yourself, and then you'll find the answer. There's no, this is best, right? It's never like that. So I think if you need to consider that South Africa is very limited to universal payment gateways, you know, except for PayPal, really, that becomes an issue. So a multi-store structure would probably make a little bit more sense. And depends on what products you're selling here and in other countries, because sometimes you don't sell the same products. It depends on fulfillment and logistics and shipping and all those things as well, because it needs to integrate. So personally, I think for a small business that doesn't necessarily want to incur the costs of custom APIs and all kinds of stuff, just having another store would probably just be best. And having that store specifically tailored to, you know, whatever you're doing in that country, if that makes sense. And that's just as a perspective with limited information on your business. But I do hope what I have presented makes sense. Just an appreciation post, Jandre. Thanks for taking the time to share this every Friday. Thanks, JD. And if everybody else has got any questions, usually I'm here till 1. So if you've got any questions, we've got half an hour to unpack the rest. I might hang around a little bit longer if needed, but I'm going to dive into the next article. So this is a cool article just explaining what's happening with Snapchat. So Snapchat is really tackling the AR industry. And obviously they know that AR is growing under e-commerce. And now they obviously want to find ways to, you know, capitalize on that. So let me quickly share my screen. I'm just going to share my whole screen because I struggle to find the correct tabs. Just becomes an issue. So basically this article breaks down why Snapchat is giving away its AR try-on shopping tools. Now, just have a look at this. This is pretty cool. Snapchat is like the 10th most popular social media platform in South Africa. They're not as popular as, obviously, Facebook and Instagram. Facebook and Instagram is currently number one. And in essence, then there is TikTok that's growing really quickly. Twitter is now picking up again because of Elon Musk's takeover. And then you've got YouTube. YouTube is not really a social network, but YouTube is massive. But if you look at social networks, Snapchat is not as popular as Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, or Facebook. But there was a time that it was really taking off. and it's kind of like just stagnated. So the people who loved Snapchat are still on Snapchat, but there's no real adoption. There's no real new users flooding to the platform. But what Snapchat's always been good at, for those of you who have seen Snapchat and who have used it in the past, the one thing that made Snapchat unique was their augmented reality features. Like you had these, they were the first to come up with the rainbow thing that came out of your mouth. And, you know, you can put on a like an augmented reality kind of like hat, virtual hat, and all these cool stuff, right? So they had all these cool little features. So they had a very strong AR background as they've developed as a social company. And that allowed them to grow quite quickly. But then Facebook and Instagram kind of like caught on with that through their stories and through their AR platform. So now what's happened is these companies are all competing for users. And Snapchat basically said that we're going to give away our AR try-on shopping tools for free. We're going to give it away. And what this means is it basically means that basically businesses can now adopt this feature and essentially allow people to try on their clothes virtually, like especially fashion or whatever products you have. So I don't know how the logistics exactly work, but this is just came out. So for example, it says here, Snapchat wants AR try-on to be a standard shopping tool so shoppers can wave their phones and try on the latest Puma hoodie. The tech firm is opening up access to its AR technology and will as expanding AR try-ons in the bid to deepen its relationship with brands, retailers, and social media platforms, pivot to metaverse companies. So the metaverse is really, you know, where things are going. We all know that. Facebook's changed their name to it, to Meta. So we kind of get that that's kind of like where things are going. And Snapchat, what they've done is they said, okay, cool, we're going to give this feature away for free, hoping that there's some mass adoption around it, and that'll flood more people to our platform, and hopefully, you know, we can grow as a business. So I don't know much about this feature, but I thought it was pretty cool. You know, if you look at this, like you can actually upload your clothes and units and stuff like that. I think essentially what it does is it creates some form of kind of like, I don't know, the AR technology creates it as a virtual thing, which then means that you can put it on yourself. Like you put the hoodie and the shoes and the dress and all that kind of stuff on yourself to see how you're going to look with it. We know Amazon is doing this as well with their software where you can now buy furniture and hold it up in your house and see, okay, I want to put this chair in my house right there. How's it going to look? No, I don't like that. Let's try another chair. So this is really where e-commerce is going, right? And it's all about mimicking the in-store experience is always what we're saying. Like if you want to know where e-commerce is going to go, then you just need to keep in mind that all we're trying to do for e-commerce is mimic the in-store experience. That's really all we're trying to do. And if that's all we're trying to do, then you can kind of like project, you can kind of like foresee what's going to happen. So I thought that was a pretty cool update from Snapchat. And we can just, you know, keep it on our radar as we go through the year. Frederick van Staden, there are some established tools for AR that home decor, that's next level though. Yeah, so exactly, Frederick. So last week we literally spoke about Amazon, which literally has, I don't know if they've bought a company that did that or if they've launched their own, you know, team in order to develop that, but they've developed AR technology to do that specifically around decor in your house. So you can literally take your phone, hold it up into the corner of the, you know, living room, and then tap on a chair and then put it in there and actually see how it works. And then you can buy that exact chair. So that's extremely cool. Tina Keys, hey Andre, what was the info regarding TikTok adverts? I would like to run ads, but looking for some advice on what to look out for. Don't want to make all the rookie mistakes. Well, Tina, first of all, you need an agency to do that for you or to give you an account, because you can't run ads in South Africa currently if you don't do it through someone. It's not open to users to just go and register an ad account and target people in South Africa. If you were in the States, you can. In the UK, you can. A couple of other countries, you can. South Africa, you cannot. So if you do want an ad account, then obviously you can work through us. You can just email us, let us know if we can, you know, help you set one up. There's a small fee attached to all that, but at least you'll have an ad account and you can do with it what you want. And then in essence, some ideas or some best practices. We're testing it out. At the moment, what I've seen is like with any social platform, it's really, really important to keep your content and your AdWords native. Okay. So we need to keep in mind, sorry, I'm going to take a sip of water. We need to keep in mind that these platforms are where people go to escape. Right. So keeping that in mind, people are not there to buy stuff. You know, Google is the place where you go to buy stuff. Bidlebuy is the place you go to buy stuff. So in essence, those platforms, you can get away with a lot of different ads. And ads do well just organically because of the fact that people are there to buy. Now, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, you know, to some extent, people go there to escape. YouTube is also a place where people go to learn stuff. So let's put YouTube aside for now. But Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok specifically, and Twitter, those are platforms that people go to escape. So the only way to run successful ads on any of those platforms is to ensure that your ads are native. So if, you know, a specific trend is happening on TikTok, like a specific meme that's going viral, or if there is a, you know, a specific, you know, I don't know, just general trend that you can see on how people are structuring their videos, then you ideally want to ensure that your ads, you know, are following that format. Because at first sight, someone is not going to think that it's an ad. Then secondly, it's the message that needs to resonate with them. So first of all, it shouldn't look like an ad. And second of all, it shouldn't sound like an ad, meaning that it shouldn't read or sound, you know, like an actual advert or you trying to sell them something. But at the same time, we know that you are trying to sell them something. So it's really about bridging the psychology between resonating with them and then offering them a specific solution. So I think in hindsight, looking at what we've done so far, is we would run Facebook ads. We would say, hey, look at, you know, how we've grown a specific person's business, you know, through our agency and our services. If you're keen, maybe you're interested in learning more about what we do. What I've seen on TikTok, what works extremely well, is more so tapping into hacking, if you will, like you're hacking into the conversation by showing something funny or entertaining, because people go there to be entertained. So we have a video, you know, of a guy struggling to, you know, push this dustbin, and the wind is just pushing this dustbin, you know, back the whole time. So he's just struggling to push this dustbin up the hill, and it just keeps on rolling back, and then he picks it up, and then he keeps on falling over, and then it's just like this massive struggle. So we have that, and then we have text around it that says, are you struggling like this guy to build your e-commerce business or grow your e-commerce business? We get it. We know how you feel. Click. It doesn't have to be that hard. And then we just say, click here if you want to learn more. So that is just an example of how we hacking into the sentiment of, you know, why people are there. So people are there to be entertained. So we're entertaining them, and that gives you an opportunity to sell. If that makes sense. So Tina, let me know if that makes sense. So if you are going to create ads, ideally you want to create ads that are native to the platform, meaning that you want to look at trends and see what people are posting. And then you want to create an ad that kind of like looks like that. And then you want to be specific with your message. You want to entertain a little bit in some way, shape or form while you sell alongside that. So that's really what it comes down to. What I've seen works really well on TikTok. But we've only been testing it for like 3 weeks or 2 weeks now. So, yeah, so I'm interested to see what happens. We've seen that the costs are literally 10 times cheaper. And, you know, if I'm going to share something with you guys, I'll share my screen here. So I'm going to share my TikTok ad account with you. So we can see here that our lead cost today is $44. So look at $44. It's 15. So 6.6 Rand, 6.6 Rand, right? 6 Rand, 60 cents. And on Facebook, we're paying 60 or 50 Rand a lead. So we're paying 50 Rand a lead on Facebook, and it's roughly 6 Rand a lead on TikTok. So it just gives you a perspective. Your money can go a lot farther. However, The issue though you might face is that the quality of the traffic might not always be that great. So you don't want to entertain 99% of the video and only sell 1% of the video, because that's going to flood your website with a lot of people who don't have an intent to buy. So you might want to come up with a ratio of 50-50. I want to do 50% entertainment, 50% selling, for example. Then it's a situation where you can actually get away with a low cost but still good traffic, and hopefully convert that into sales. So again, we're still testing it out, and we're very, very intrigued with what we found on the platform. So yeah, I hope that feedback helps. Then moving on, like while we're on TikTok, let's just talk about TikTok. So I've got a TikTok article here that I wanted to share with you guys. So TikTok and why it's so powerful. So in essence, what's happening right now, we all know that Facebook is being banned by Apple in terms of tracking certain things, right? When I say banned, it's a very harsh word, but they're basically being blocked from, tracking the users on Apple's iOS devices unless the users give clear consent that they're happy to be tracked. And what happens now is that we need to keep in mind that that's only for Facebook. It's not for other platforms. So TikTok has massive leverage over Facebook at the moment. And that is that they're not being pushed aside by Google the way Facebook is. And TikTok now has launched their third-party cookies to its Pixel, which means it can actually follow people around after they have been on the TikTok platform. So usually TikTok only had first-party tracking, ability, which meant that you can target people based on how they behave on TikTok. Okay, so first-party cookies, guys, basically means that it's you only tracking people based on how they behave closest to you as the advertiser. So if the advertiser is on TikTok and you have first-party cookies only on the platform or first-party tracking, then it means that if the user is closest to you, he's closest to TikTok. So therefore, really only that you can, the data that you can get is basically just how they behave on TikTok. So you can target people based on their interests, but those interests are basically based on how they have behaved on TikTok. So if someone has been watching car videos on TikTok, TikTok would then say that this person is interested in car videos. Now, third-party tracking allows you to track the user as they leave the TikTok platform. So if that person who now watched a video of a car on Facebook, on TikTok, and he goes off of TikTok and he goes to Auto Trader and cars.co.za, and he browses and inquires on Auto Trader or cars.co.za, the Pixel will keep the third-party cookies will keep firing. And because he's inquired on cars or Auto Trader, for example, it will speak to TikTok and it will say that this person is really interested in buying cars. So he's is someone who's looking for an automotive solution. And now, because TikTok knows that, you can target people who might be interested in buying cars, and therefore the ad will be shown to that individual because he is seen as someone who's really hot when it comes to buying cars. And that is really what the third-party tracking Pixel means for TikTok. Their targeting abilities are just now going to get so much better because they're not just targeting people on the platform. They're not just generating data based on how people behave on TikTok. They're generating data on how people are behaving on the whole internet. And then when they are on TikTok, you can show ads related, to their behavior based on the overall behavior, not just how they behave on TikTok. Does that make sense to everyone? Just leave a comment if I've made any sense. I've tried my best to break it down for you guys here. So that is basically what TikTok has launched, is they have launched the third-party tracking Pixel, which now gives you, and they says yeah, and tries to eat Facebook's lunch because Facebook's third-party pixels are being blocked by Apple. Now that's what's happening, right? Apple said, no, no, no. You're not going to follow our people around on their iOS devices unless they give you permission. And many of those people are not giving that permission. So now what's happening is that, in essence, you know, TikTok is not being banned by Apple yet. So there's a lot of information that they can gather that Facebook can't. So the question is, will the advertising targeting capabilities on TikTok be the same as pre-iOS updates for Facebook? That's what we're wondering. We believe it's possible. So it'll be exciting for the platform. All right. So, Tina, social selling, in other words. Yes. Well, social selling. Exactly. Like, it's really just resonating with people and keeping the content native. That's really what it comes down to. Grant Handley. Hey, Andre. I might have missed the earlier, but I wanted to ask, what was your closing ratio on TikTok ads as opposed to Facebook ads, please? So we have a different approach. We've only been running it for 2 weeks to 3 weeks. So we don't have a closing ratio yet, but we're also not generating hardcore bookings and leads the same way we do on Facebook and Google. We have a bit of a different approach for TikTok. We're using it to generate webinar registrations and leads of people who just want to learn more about e-commerce. And many of those people might have e-commerce businesses. Some of them might not. Some of them might be weaker leads. So we're actually just using it as a brand building initiative by generating a ton of leads, more so than trying to sell hardcore straight there and then. That's my strategy for now. Because the lead cost is so cheap, I've decided to not going in too hard for the sell, but rather build up a big database as much as possible and build brand and reputation and credibility and trust around that audience. So that's our strategy as a business. I'm just sharing that transparently with you. Grant, I hope that helps. So just to, I don't have a closing ratio for you. I'm pretty sure it will be much lower if that was the approach. But what you need to keep in mind is that the cost is 10 times cheaper. So if the leads were weaker, you need to ask yourself, cool, if I'm going to get 10 leads on Facebook and 10 on TikTok, and I close 7 of them from Facebook and I close 2 of them on TikTok, what was the actual overall cost per CPA? So the closing ratio is not really what is the issue. It's really what was the actual overall cost per acquisition? Because if the lead cost is R2 on TikTok and 20 on Facebook, then the 2% or the 20% closing ratio might still be more affordable for your business in terms of profitability. So it's not always about the ratio or the percentage. It's more about the actual cost of the acquisition, if that makes sense, because that's what determines the profitability on that sale. So yeah, let me know what you think about that. If there's any other questions, anybody else who've got any questions, please let me know. I'm going to move on to our next article here. So we've been speaking about Reels on Facebook. Sorry, this is the article I want to share. So we've been speaking on Facebook and Instagram Reels earlier. And while we've been speaking about TikTok, I thought this is going to be a great segue. So obviously the reason why TikTok is doing so well in terms of popularity under users is because of the fact that, you know, it... Hold on 1 second. Just want to see what's happening here. Make this bigger. The reason why TikTok essentially is growing in popularity is because it's short form, very entertaining videos. And Facebook and Instagram has adapted that, you know, strategy, and they've come up with Reels. You've got Facebook Reels, you've got Instagram Reels. And what's happened with Instagram Reels is like it's grown tremendously, like a lot. And touching on our point earlier about social commerce, where you can tag your products, you can leverage Reels to hack organic growth, and you can tag your products in those Reels in order to gain awareness for free and hopefully, you know, make a couple of sales for free as well. So they've basically said, yeah, we've seen numerous examples of people growing by over 100 to 1,000%. And this is basically based on, you know, Reels and TikTok and all these kind of things. And what it came down to here, hold on, I just want to conclude. Where was this? Here we go. Data AI, formerly App Annie, had noted in its State of Mobile 2020 to report that both Facebook and Instagram saw the engagement deepen by 15% and 35% respectively for in the Indian market. Further, Instagram also led the market in terms of downloads and social category according to the same report, and this growth has largely been driven by Reels, its fastest growing content format by far, according to company executives. And Mark Zuckerberg also posted yesterday on Facebook where he said, I think 32% of all consumption now on Instagram is Reels. And he says he sees the same adoption on Facebook. So in essence, what's important is knowing that a lot more people are gravitating towards Reels. And Instagram is also now rewarding original content. So for those of you that missed last week's show, check out on YouTube. But I basically said that there's been an algorithm update on Instagram. And that algorithm update basically promotes organic and original content more than anything. So people who are reposting other people's stuff, their reach will essentially decline and will not stretch as far as it used to. But people who are coming up with original content, those individuals will see, and those accounts will see, a further boost in organic reach. Now, considering that there is an algorithmic change to the favor of organic content, considering that Reels is growing massively on Facebook and Instagram, and considering that you can now start to tag, you know, anybody can start to tag your products, this is because of those three things, it becomes a massive opportunity for any business to leverage influencers more strategically through Reels and tagging their products, etc. But making sure that the influencers obviously promote organic content. So by combining influencers, by leveraging the new algorithmic, you know, changes, by leveraging the fact that you can tag products and social commerce in general, and leveraging Reels, you might actually see something happen on your organic strategy, unlike the last couple of years where organic reach has just been basically dead. So I think because of those three or four things, organic growth on Facebook and Instagram is possible again. Because for a long time, it was really, really tough, because it's just organic reach is just dead. So that I wanted to share with you guys. I'm moving on to just a guide that I found, how to create an Instagram content calendar for your business. I don't know if you guys would be interested in this. I will post this in the notes on YouTube. You can have a look, and it just gives you an idea on how to start creating organic content and how to come up with a content calendar. Because now we've spoken about Instagram, Reels are growing, the algorithm has changed in the favor of organic content. Now it's important to really go out and figure out how to do Reels and all this stuff successfully. So I thought this might help. How to create an Instagram and content calendar for your business. And there's a downloadable template, and they give you some advice on how to actually, you know, make sure that you get it right. So I will link this in the show notes. It will be on YouTube. So for those of you who are interested, go over to YouTube, and it will be there hopefully in the next day or two, or by next week, Monday. Cool. So we've spoken about TikTok. Now I want to end up with some advice. So if there's any other questions, guys, you've got about 10 minutes or so to ask those questions, because I will be heading out just after one. So if there is anybody, Matt, you asking a question, how do your... Oh, sorry, man. Just blatantly ignored you there. Let's see what you say, what you said. How do your clients that sell cheap products profit from Facebook leads costing so much? So... yeah, interesting. What we've seen is that it's not so much the cost of the item that's the issue. It's how frequently people come back to buy. Because in theory, you rarely make profit on the first sale. You don't really make much profit on the first sale. And if your business is dependent on you always making profit on the first sale, you won't have a very profitable business for very long. Unfortunately, that's just the reality of e-commerce. So what we've been encouraging our clients to do is to stop focusing on the profit on the first sale and rather focus on how can you get people back to come and buy more from you. Because there's two ways to grow your e-commerce business.
get more clients and get them, unless it's high ticket, sure. If you're selling a fridge for 10 grand or 5 grand and you've got 30% margin or 40, 50% margin on that, 30%, for example, I don't know what margins are for fridges, but theoretically, if it's 30%, which is the average of for products across the board, I mean, you're making profit. Great, that's fine. But also, people don't buy a fridge every single month. So you don't need them to come back that much, right? So people buy groceries. So most low-ticket items you'll find are stuff that people are open to buying more often. So in essence, if you're going to be selling a bed, which is high ticket, people are not going to buy it every month. If you're going to be selling chairs, same thing. If you're going to be selling expensive jeans, 3-4 grand jeans, people don't necessarily come back to buy that every single month either. But if you are selling 300 rand shirts, there might be a different adoption. Like someone might buy a shirt and actually enjoy it and actually come back next month to buy the exact same shirt, just in a different color. Groceries, sports nutrition, makeup, beauty, cosmetics, those kind of clients, and there's many other examples. I'm just going to, don't have the time to list all of them, but I'm just using those as an example. Those are all mostly low ticket. But what happens is that you need to start creating a strategy to bring those people back, because all of those industries are going to struggle to make profit on the first sale. So it's really about how do you increase your lifetime value and how do you increase your average order value on the first purchase. So upsell funnels. So I'm getting to your question now. This is the answer to it. So if you have a lower ticket item, you need a very strong upsell funnel. So if someone adds something to their cart, and we've built some really cool, amazing funnels, which I know we've got a call next week, which I'll show you on how we've actually used strategic funnels to push for the upsell. And then we have downsells. And if they don't, there's another upsell, and then there's another downsell. So it's really about building a funnel that can add an extra 10-20% to that order, number one. And then number two, it's a matter of bringing people back. So you want to increase the average order value as much as you can, and you want to be as aggressive with as you can with that strategy. And then it's a matter of how can you get that person to come back next week, next month, the next 2 months, the next 3 months. So lifetime value over time is extremely crucial. All right. So that's really what we do on Facebook. And remarketing post-purchase campaigns. Remarketing campaigns and post-purchase campaigns really come in at an affordable cost on Facebook. And it kind of like offsets, the higher top of funnel costs. So that's the strategy behind that. And we do a lot of automation as well. And we do a lot of conversion rate optimization as well. So those are all tactics that we use to drop the cost of the sale on Facebook. So it's not Facebook that's the problem. Google's cost is rising. Facebook's cost is, everybody's costs are all rising. So it's not Facebook that's the issue per se. Cost is rising in general across the board. So the question is, how can you make it more profitable for your business? So you can get average order value increase. You need to increase average order value. You need to increase lifetime value. Then you need to leverage stuff like automation to be in people's faces without you having to manually have to do it. So just you need to automate comms at scale, and you need to improve your conversion rate as much as you can. And with strategic funnels, all of that kind of like starts making a difference. Cool, guys. So if there's any other questions, please ask them now, and then I will quickly share two or three things with you that I thought was really, really interesting. Here's an article that I found quite interesting. I stumbled upon it, and it basically talks about the highest converting color for your add to cart button. And basically, we all, like Matt was just saying, I was like, how do we actually get it right, to drop the actual cost of advertising? And the best way to really go about it is to be more strategic with the what's happening on your actual site. Conversion rate optimization is massive, and changing the UI and the UX of your site is form part of conversion rate optimization. And something as simple as changing your add to cart color button can make a difference. But the question is always, it's always that question of what color is actually best. And what this article kind of like unpacks is not so much the actual color, but how it looks in contrast to the rest of your site. Okay. So, in essence, it's not whether you should have a purple or a blue or a green or a yellow button. Because if your whole site is yellow, a yellow button is not going to stand out. Right? And here they talk about ghastly ghost buttons. The worst thing you can do for your e-commerce store is have an add to cart button like that. Why? And for those of you listening to this through a podcast or audio version, I'm showing an add to cart button that basically looks exactly, it's purely white, same as the background, and only has a color border. So there's no real color to the add to cart button. It's basically the same color as the page, except it has a color coded border, and the text is obviously a different color as well. So that is a ghostly button or a ghastly ghostly button. And that is the worst thing that you can do for your e-commerce business because people don't necessarily see it. They miss it completely. And sometimes it happens consciously, sometimes it happens unconsciously. But regardless, it happens and there's a drop-off because of it. So what's really crucial is understanding the color wheel. And by understanding the color wheel, you understand what color is going to be which color is going to work best for your store. So in essence, if your site's yellow, you want to try a purple add to cart button. If your site is red, you want to try a green add to cart button. If your site is blue, you want to try an orange. If your site is red, you want to try green, and etc. So in essence, that's the basic color wheel, and you can leverage that color wheel to come up with add to cart buttons that actually stick out. Because that's what the study concluded is not so much the color, but it's how much it's sticking out and how easy it is for people to find. And if it is easy for people to find, they are more likely going to click it. And for those of you that don't know, ideally you would want a 10% add to cart rate. So if 1,000 people are coming to your store, you want 100 people adding products to their carts. And if you're currently not getting 100 add to carts, then you need to start playing around with the certain things of the UI of the product page. Maybe you need to improve the value in terms of the description. Maybe you need to add some videos, some social proof. All that stuff. But the quickest thing to do is just to change your color button, the add to cart button, and see what happens. So, in theory, I thought it was a really cool article because it's even something that I've always thought about. And it's like, if red and green is usually the most prominent colors, then what if the website is, both that same color? Or what if the company's CI doesn't allow it? And it was just a clear, straight answer of something that, I think we all kind of like knew in our gut, but this was a cool study to actually prove that. I was sharing this. I thought I was worth sharing this with you guys. There's one or two articles that I wanted to share with you guys, but I don't think I'm going to have time. I will share it in the show notes, though, for those of you interested. It's basically just 12 expert tips for creating the perfect e-com search tool. Like, a massive percentage of people actually come to your site and search for products. So in essence, how do you actually build a search bar that performs well and actually gets people where they need to be? And the other one was the ultimate guide to the best e-commerce pop-up because nobody knows how to use pop-ups. Every single time I'm on a site, I realize people have no clue on how to use pop-ups. So I've come like up with my own little best practice, document. But in essence, I found this article this week, which I thought which resonated with me because so many people don't know how to use pop-ups. And I'll maybe make a video on it for you guys and explain it for you a little bit better throughout the week. I'll be sharing that on the YouTube channel of ours. If you're interested, I'll put the show notes there. So go on to V8 Media. Just look for us on YouTube. Just type in V8 Media on YouTube. You should find us. Subscribe if you never want to miss a live video, or if you want to look back at previous live videos and latest news and stuff like that. We are going to be doing more shows. We're also thinking about introducing a lead generation show for those of you who are more suited to, or your who com whose companies are more suited to generating leads. So from our side, I just love doing this and I want to do more of it. So, and I hope there was value in today. I hope that you guys enjoyed hanging out with me. It was really awesome to hang out with you, and thank you for the questions. I hope that the answers made sense. And from my side, all the best. Much love. Have a great long weekend. And I'll see you guys next week. Blessings. Cheers, guys.